Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. How many of you just got a tinge of wanting to watch a Hallmark movie? Ooh. My wife can't wait. She can't even wait. There's gonna be Christmas decor up probably in the next 3 weeks. No, I'm not letting it happen. It's not happening in my house. No, it's the most wonderful time of the church year, in my opinion. This is one of the great things that we have done for the last decade as a church. We celebrate something called Love Week. And I want to tell you all about it today. I'm going to be really quick. My assignment is very simple. I am hopefully going to get you to just rise up and be as radically generous as possible, and we are going to see God do great things over these next 7 days. Can I get an amen? Amen? For those of you who are new here, and I know there's a bunch of you, I saw a bunch of you coming in the lobby, I want to let you know what Love Week is. And then for those of us that aren't new, some of us, this is our 11th Love Week. How many of you have been here over 10 years? By a show of hands. Yeah, not that many of you. So, very good. We got a lot of people that this is their first Love Week. So here's my job today. I want for the new person to explain to you what it is we're about to do, what Love Week is. And then for those of us that have done it 5, 8, 10, maybe this will be your 11th time, I just want to kind of wake us up a little bit to how awesome what we're about to do actually is. How many of you know familiarity can breed contempt? You just kind of start taking for granted the blessings and the joys of your life. I always find that whenever I travel, and I'm like a week away, it always makes me so much more thankful for home. Amen? But sometimes you just can get lethargic and nose blind to how good you actually have it. And one of the things I don't want our church to ever do is take for granted the goodness and blessings of God in our midst. Can I get another amen? And so I want to shake us up today, and I want to just stir us up into good work. So I'm going to answer three questions really quick. I'm going to be quick. The band didn't even believe me. Between services, they go, we didn't believe you that you said you're going to be quick, and you were actually quick. So there you go. Buckle up. We're going to be just really quick. We're going to launch into Love Week. But I want to answer these three questions. What is Love Week? Why do we do it? And how can we participate? What is Love Week? Why do we do it? And how do we participate? What is Love Week? Well, here's my stab at a definition. I'll unpack it a little bit more. Love Week is 1 week of collective and coordinated radical generosity by the good people of King's Church. It is 1 week where we all come together and we give and serve and love radically to the community that God has placed us in. We do it all together, coordinated at the same time, and the impact is magnificent. And back in 2014, I'd been the senior pastor for a year and a half, and one of the many kind of eye-openers, I mean, there's so many things that I just didn't know about the church that God revealed to me, things that I just misunderstood. How many of you know, like, until you're responsible for things, you just can't quite understand the weight of it and the complexity of it? And one of the things that happened to me when I became senior pastor is I got a whole new perspective on the church. And not just the challenges in the church, but the blessings and the beauty of the church. One of the things I didn't realize was how unbelievably generous and selfless and loving the people of my church family always are. That constantly we had people giving and serving and looking after people, that there was just constant blessing flowing out of this place. And I just wanted to speak that over you. You need to know that you have brothers and sisters all around you that are constantly practicing generosity, living selflessly, giving, and looking after the needs of other people. But I had this thought, you know, I wonder why we don't realize the collective impact of our generosity. And so we started asking questions, what would happen if to highlight generosity, we coordinated our efforts in 1 week of radical giving? And so we decided to take an offering all at once, to give it and just kind of pool all of our resources and to serve and coordinate service projects together and see what kind of dent or impact of blessing we could make in the city of St. John in 1 week's time. And so Love Week was born. We took an offering that first year, and people gave extraordinarily generously. We did service projects, and we started to just learn how to operate as a church in another increased level of generosity. And now we have done it 11, this will be our 11th year, and over those 10 years that we've done it, so 10 years, 10 weeks, you have given away thousands of hours of volunteer service, in fact, well over 10,000 hours. So if you are a Malcolm Gladwell fan and you know the like 10,000 hour makes you an expert at something, congratulations, King's Church, you are an expert at radical generosity. You did it. Yeah, hey, it's worth it. And in those 10 weeks, we've given away $1.7 million. We give $1.7 million away to charities, organizations, families, ministries, all kinds of stuff every single year. It's always amazing to see how God directs that giving and impacts people in ways we never could have even imagined or scripted. So we've given away all that money. We've blessed schools. We've moved refugees to Canada. We've been doing this long enough where we've seen people. We've brought in Syrian families. We've brought in Ukrainian families. We've been able to just be consistent in this over the last decade. We've provided housing. We've built roofs. We've renovated homes. We've built decks on homes. We've gifted schools. We've partnered with recovery and addiction centers. The list is so long, I couldn't possibly cover it all. But this is a snapshot of what Love Week is, and we're going to do it again this year, and I believe it's going to be bigger and better than ever. So that's what it is. I want to highlight for you, why do we do this? Why do we do Love Week? And I'm going to give you my five reasons, my top five reasons as to why we practice this radical generosity called Love Week. So here's the first one. Are you awake? You with me? Sort of. Yeah, okay. There we go. Yeah. Number one, because it serves as a gospel gut check. It's my language, but the challenge to be radically generous, what that does in your heart is a sign of the level of revelation and freedom you have in the gospel of Jesus. If the call to give causes you to shut down, that is a gospel issue. And ultimately, if you believe, truly believe, that God is God of the universe, that he owns everything, that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, and those of us who put our faith in him receive eternal salvation, and there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, if you actually believe that and then have a hard time writing a check or serving somebody, there is an incongruence there. Is that fair to say? How can you say, I follow the king who put aside his crown and rolled up his sleeves and humbled himself to take on the nature of a servant and went all the way to even death on a cross? How can you say, I follow that guy and continue to be stingy? You can't. You can't. Jesus said one time, you'll only be able to serve one master. You can serve God or you can serve mammon, money, resource, but you can't serve both. And I find this week for me, for Melanie and I, for our household and for our whole church, it serves as a gut check that says like, okay, do I actually believe what I say I believe? Do I really believe that God is my provider? Do I really believe that I can't outgive God? Do I really believe that actually what it looks like to be like my father is that I would love others? Do I actually believe it? It serves as a gospel gut check. John, the one that Jesus loved, said it like this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest or visible among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, those of you who were in church last week, you learned what propitiation is. What is it? It's an atoning sacrifice. It's that God didn't just save us by saying you're saved. He paid the ultimate price by dying our death. Anybody thankful for the mercy of God in Christ Jesus this morning? Come on. So what John is saying is, if God loved us like that, the only natural response is to love him back and love others the way he loved them. That's what I mean by a gospel gut check. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So why do we do it? Fundamentally, because we're Christians. Amen? No, it's generosity is supposed to be synonymous with Christianity. Let me say it again for the people at the back. Generosity is supposed to be synonymous with Christianity. They're two in the same thing. It's too bad that when Christians hoard, we actually undermine the gospel, don't we? Maybe one of the things, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, one of the things that would bear greater witness to the reality of Jesus is if we practice more radical generosity like our Savior does. Amen. Number two, along with that, here's another reason. Because Love Week provides a great faith opportunity. It's a real chance to quite literally put your money where your mouth is. And it gets easy to provide lip service to things or say that we believe things, but it's a different thing to actually step in and do it, to get out there and be generous. And one of my favorite things for like as a pastor for Love Week is the discovery that happens every single year. Every year, there are people who have never given to God in faith before, who do it for the first time, and then they'll come to me and they'll have that bug-eyed look that's like, oh, I thought God was real before, but now I know. Like almost that, like, hey, pastor, did you know God's really there? I'm like, yes, I do. It's uncanny. How many of you have had this experience before? I'll get you to put your hand up in just a second. You have felt God prompt you to do something generous, to give. And there's always that moment of, oh, I don't think I can afford it. Oh, the timing's bad. Hey, listen, I got a ticket from the Department of Natural Resources this week and my phone died last night. So there's never good timing. And that's probably true for some of you. But how many of you have had that moment where you felt God pushing you to give and maybe go beyond where it's a little bit comfortable and you stretched? And then on the other side of that, God just blew your mind with something. How many of you experienced that? Just show of hands. All over the room, you've experienced that God always responds to faith. Did you know the only thing that can please God, the only thing, you can't impress them with your musical ability like I just talked about a minute ago. You can't impress them with how good looking you are, any of those things. The only thing that can please God is faith. It's the only thing you can give him. And when you operate in faith, God shows up in unimaginable ways. And this has become one of my favorite weeks of the year because it's a discipleship tool for a lot of people. A lot of people have a hard time when we take an offering every week. They're like, oh, there they go. There's the church asking for money again so Pastor Brent can have a Learjet. That's like, yeah, taking my Learjet to Miramichi and back all the time. Yeah. No, we're not that kind of church, but I understand. I understand there's baggage when it comes to churches asking for offerings, and I will admit along with you, there has been a lot of impropriety in different churches when it comes to finances. So there's a reason that people have baggage when the church asks for money or takes offerings. I get it. However, this has been a great way to open the door to generosity because here's the deal. With Love Week, 100% of what comes in goes out the door. And so this is one of the best times that I can stand up here with just full assurance and say, I double dog dare you to give and you watch what God does in your life. And you can know for sure that this is going to go out and it's going to benefit somebody else. Worst case scenario, God doesn't show up in your life, but somebody gets helped this week. But I know what my God is like. And I know if you stretch and you give, he is going to show up in your life in ways you couldn't write. You couldn't write a better story. And we have seen that, and I see it every single year. God promises. He's true to his word. Paul was taking an offering to the church in Corinthians, and he said this, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower, did you know that everything that's in your hand came from him in the first place? Yeah? Like, you're like, oh, I work hard. Yeah, he gave you the ability to hold down that job. Everything you have is his anyway. So he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. How many of you could just testify that's true? That is flat out true. I feel like there's, man, some of you need to give extra this year. If you've never experienced that, you need to put God to the test and see what he does. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is a picture of one of the reasons why we do this. It's a faith opportunity. And I just want to challenge you again. I dare you, I double dog dare you. Go ahead, be generous, see what God does in your life. It's absolutely incredible, the stories we get. We get people that get promotions, jobs, all the gifts of God is just crazy. And we've seen it time and time again, and I'm fully expecting to get that look from some of you next week. You're going to come in and be like, Pastor Brent, you'll never guess what happened. And I'll just think, yeah, I can guess. I can guess because I know what God's like, but tell me. Number three. Here's another reason why we practice Love Week, why we're radically generous as a church, because it builds bridges around us. How many of you have noticed, maybe those of you I'll ask, especially that have been like Christians for, let's say, 30 years plus, how many of you would agree with me that society is a little bit less dispositionally in favor of Christianity? I heard a chuckle. Yeah. I remember being in public school and reading Bible stories and saying the Lord's Prayer. That's not the dominant religion of our society is no longer Christianity, and there is hostility towards Christianity. Has anybody experienced that? Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Make the odd political post online and see what happens. Right? It's just out there. People get a little touchy about Christianity, and there's a lot of reasons for that we won't go into today. But you know what I have noticed? It's not like a silver bullet. However, it's really helpful. When we operate in radical generosity, it has this ability to take down walls and build bridges with people who would have previously dismissed us or even attacked us. We've just seen that happen time and time again. How many know it's really hard to say, you're a bigot, you're a hateful bigot, but you paid for my groceries, right? Like, generosity just disarms people. And it builds bridges. And we've seen that time and time again. We have a level of favor in our community. We have held a level of favor in our community that is unusual for a church this size and for a Orthodox Christianity type church. You know, we have an unbelievable amount of favor, and it is not coincidental. We are proactive in generosity. Now, it's, again, not a silver bullet. There's going to be people that come against us. There's going to be people that push back against Christianity. That's bound to happen. Jesus said, if the world hates you, don't freak out. It hated me first. That's just part of the deal. However, generosity also can disarm and build bridges. And it builds bridges from an evangelistic standpoint, which I'll talk about in a second. But look what Peter said to the early Christians. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles. That's like non-believers here he's talking about. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you, not if, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. So what's he saying? He's saying like Christians are going to be provocative in the culture, but you need to operate with a level of generosity and honor and be a blessing, seek the welfare of the city. You need to do that in such a way that it gets very hard for them to figure out, like, are they evil or are they good? Because I don't like what they believe, but then they went ahead and just did this. So how do I, and what he's saying here is, like, as you operate in generosity, they'll see your good deeds and it will point them to God, which we'll talk about more in a second. Number four. Told you I was going to be fast. You were scared for a second. It's like a five-point sermon. Number four. Reason number four why I love week. Because it's a source of church health. A source of church health. I have noticed something in my relationships. I've noticed this in my physical health. I've noticed this in my mental and emotional health. I've noticed this in church health. You don't drift into health. Does anybody notice that? You drift into unhealth. I said it in the first service. I've said it many times. No one has accidental abs. Oops. Right? Washboard. Doesn't work like that. You got to work it. You got to be disciplined. You got to actually like go after it. It's the same in your relationship. Nobody has an accidentally good marriage. Amen? It's built. It's invested in. It's refined. And the same goes for the church. You know, no church just wakes up and says, you know what? Let's just be ineffective from here on out. Let's reach no one, grow really old, and then not be able to pay the bills and then just gradually close. Let's do that. Nobody sets out to do that. What happened? The gradual, natural drift inward. Yeah? How many know you and I as individuals, unless we're intentional, will drift towards selfishness? Amen? Yeah, you will. You're lying, which is selfish. Yeah, you will. And here's the thing. Church communities do the same thing. If we aren't intentional with outreach and generosity and making ourselves practice generosity, you will gradually drift towards increased comfort and self-focus. And then all of a sudden, the things that matter the most to the church is the color of paint and the type of chairs and, oh, so-and-so said this. And it just becomes this inward, gross thing. How many of you know that when God designed his people to operate on the earth, he created us to be rivers of blessing, not putrid ponds? Yeah? That's the truth. Like we are supposed to operate in the flow of the health and life of the kingdom of God. But if we're not intentional, man, if we're not generous, if we're not proactive in evangelism, if we're not trying to do outreach, you can dam up the flow of God's blessing in your life. And so one of the things we've seen over the past decade is as we've done this, this has been one like backstop in our ministry where it's like, I know for sure we are going to practice generosity through Love Week, and we have seen the blessing of God not just go through us, but to us. The increase on our church has been outrageous. In the last 10 years, we've baptized something like 1,200 people. We've launched 4 campuses on top of this one. Our attendance has grown 5-fold. Our giving has grown 7-fold. What do you attribute that to? I attribute that to this. He who can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And as long as we are faithful to continue to sow in and seek the welfare of the city, look to bless others, to constantly be generous, God continues to elevate and promote us. And so this has been a major source of church health. I get asked from time to time from other pastors around the region, you know, they look at our church. If you're not part of church, you have no history in church, what's happening here is not like normal. Just FYI. And I'll get asked from other pastors, like, what's going on there? What's the secret to success? I'll always start with the same thing. It's prayer. It's hunger for the Holy Spirit. But very early on, I will tell them about Love Week. And I'll tell them about the practice of radical generosity and the way that that actually affects us as a people. It's massive in the life of our church. We're called to be rivers of blessing, not putrid ponds or stinky cisterns. Makes sense, right? Just off the top of the dome. Just happening today. Here we go. All right, number 5. Number 1 reason, because it shines the light of Jesus. Here's the thing. Okay, so in the next 7 days, again, probably in the next 7 minutes, you're going to give money, hopefully. And then in the next 7 days, your church, like through the leadership, we're going to distribute that money. I'll tell you a little bit about where our areas of focus are in just a second. We're going to distribute that money. And there is no strings attached except one. We aren't expecting to get money back. You don't have to come to our church. You don't have, like, we don't want anything back. The only string attached to any of this is that people might see Jesus. Oh, that was a good spot for an amen, John. Say amen. No? All right. John's just waiting for his moment. He's going to count us into the 3-2-1 love week in just a minute. But here, our hope is that through all these acts, whether it's paying it forward in the Tim Hortons line or it's giving some great organization in the city a $10,000 check, which we're going to do, and that is fun, just saying. The hope is that it points to that there is a God, and his name is Jesus, and he's mighty to save, and he's able to look after you, and he's able to deliver you, and he's able to bring healing, and he's able to bring life, and he's able to restore families, and he can heal marriages, and he can fix societies. Our hope is that all this stuff that we do points to King Jesus. There is one big string attached. There's a huge hope that people start following the paper trail of why are they doing this and why are they so generous and why would they, they're normal people. I know them. They're not rich. Why would they do that? Well, it's because we believe in Jesus and we hope you see him and we want you to know his salvation and his goodness. That's ultimately the number one reason, and Jesus tells us to do it. Look, this is the words of Christ himself. You are the light of the world. Now, he said he is the light of the world, but now he's saying you are the light of the world. Why? Because him in you is supposed to shine a light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, say it with me, let your light shine. Say it one more time with me. Let your light shine. Oh, my goodness. Say it one more time with some conviction. Let your light shine. There we go. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. You think about, I know some of you are like, well, what about that scripture that says, like, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing? That's about the motivations of your heart and wanting credit and notoriety for giving. What Jesus here is talking about is wanting your generosity to bring a testimony to his goodness and reality. And we unabashedly, I want to leave one of these, you know, wherever I go, if I'm paying it forward at Tim Hortons, I want to leave that so that just maybe somebody might think about Jesus. That's the hope. Strings attached. Amen? So that's why we do it. Those are our five main reasons. So let's talk a little bit about, like, where's the money going? How do we get involved? Well, this year, as is the case every single year, we typically have a framework that we operate in, areas that God highlights, and we have all kinds of organizations, and we've got stories and families that we're supporting that are all lined up. But here's basically the major areas that we're focused on. We're focused on families and kids. How many of you know there are more people hurting more than ever? Man, things are hard right now. And the average, like, you think 10 years ago when we started, how hard so many families in the city of St. John had it. Well, it's harder now. And there are more people. It's blown me away. When I drive to work on Tuesdays, the food bank right next door to this facility, it never used to be like this, but now it's lined right down the street. In Quispam Sis, this is an affluent area. And that's not even getting into what's going on in our cities, the tent villages. And I mean, the need is massive, and you have seen it. But we want to really focus in on helping lift families and kids that are in poverty particularly. Also, we've just by God's grace been given lines on families in unique and trying circumstances. So some like critical illness situations and stuff like that. God always seems to just line us up with being able to help people in need. Food security is massive, as I just mentioned. We want to just fill up food banks. One of the things, for those of you who are new here, one of the reasons we've done Love Week 2 is we felt like it was important that we as a church don't reinvent the wheel, but we get out there and we find people who are already doing great work. Amen? So we support the outflows of the world and the food banks and the Salvation Armies, and we just go and we try to be a big booster to what they're already doing. We look for kingdom partners. One of the things we've done over the past several years is we look at ministries around the region that God is blessing. How many of you know it is wise to bless what God is blessing? If you don't know that, that's free. It's a free tip for you. You look at what God is blessing and you get behind it because the blessing just keeps coming. And so we try to look at different ministries and people around the region who are doing great work for the kingdom. We come in behind that. We've helped plant many churches that aren't part of King's Church. That's always really fun. We get behind different ministries every single year. Obviously, we are a huge recovery church. I'm pretty sure we run the largest Celebrate Recovery in Canada. And we've been a very big church in that, and we also help other churches run that, but we also look for places like Village of Hope and different places that are like rehab centers and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, just helping, you know, even be a drop in the bucket with the issue of homelessness. And so there's some really cool things happening. We're going to partner in with the project that's happening in town, the Sunnyside Village that's going to be happening. There's just a lot of cool stuff that's happening we're going to be part of this year. So that's some of the things. It's way bigger than that, though. If you go to our website, I'm going to walk you through that in just a minute. There's all kinds of stuff that you can get involved in. One thing I want you to know about particularly this year. You still with me? You got five more minutes in you? You're going to get out of here early, I promise. All right, something I want to tell you about is we are going to do a free flea market. Say that five times fast. A free flea market. A free flea market on Saturday at Kent. And I'm asking you and your family to consider jumping in on this. We need at least 50 families to make this a real party. We're combining our efforts with our West St. John campus, and we're going to meet at Kent's. And here's what we do. How many of you have ever been to the Sussex Flea Market? If you know, you know. Yeah. No, it's a glorious zoo. If you've never been, you are not a true Maritimer. You need to go check that off the list. But what we want to do is we want to set up dozens of tables, and we're going to encourage dozens of families to go in your home and find stuff that, you know, either the Lord prompts you to donate, or you would sell in a yard sale. Bring a carload of that stuff, and we're going to provide tables, and you will bring and put your stuff on the table, and we're going to be advertising on the radio. Me and John are going to hit the town tomorrow and pass out flyers. We are going to be letting people know that on Saturday, we are going to be having a free yard sale. And so for the hundreds of people that are A, in economic insecurity, or B, they're new to the country, a lot of immigrants right now, we are going to be a wild blessing to them to bring decent quality stuff that maybe they needed a lamp, maybe someone needed golf clubs, or they needed a printer, or whatever it is that you have. Bring it in, and it is going to be a ton of fun to see what God does. We're going to have barbecues and prayer huts and all kinds of stuff going on as well, but we really need you, at least 50 families, to help us do that. Does that sound all right? So it can't just be like me and Melanie and Andy and Carrie and John. It's not enough. We need about 50 families, 50 households. Now, some of you are like, can we drop our stuff off at the church? The answer is a hard no. It's a hard no. If you want to donate stuff, find a friend that's going to be coming and throw it in their van. You look after your stuff, you bring it in, make it available, and then for the stuff that doesn't go, I really do believe there's grace on this, and God's going to just set some really cool things up. For the stuff that doesn't go, you'll have it to take home, or take it right there to Value Village, which is a stone's throw away, whatever you want to do. But does that make sense? It's going to be a lot of fun. That's just one major event that's happening, but there's a ton of other stuff. You could do a daily adventure with Pastor Mike McNeil. That's always fun. He's got stuff happening all week long as well. Here's the best thing that you can do, though, to get involved is to... Oh, let me break it down like this. Here's how you can participate. First, I'm going to ask you boldly to dig deep and give a financial offering. So a general rule of thumb is here: just what is generosity for you? That's the thing. It looks different for everybody. Everybody's not in the same financial situation. And so you ask the Lord, God, what would you have me do? And what would move your heart? If you ask those questions and you'll be obedient to him, he will guide you the right way. Generally, you should feel it a little bit. Amen? Is it really generosity if it costs you nothing? If it's a tip, you know? You can afford that. Put something forward that says, yeah, I'm investing myself. I want to participate in this. So we're going to contribute in just a second. I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to challenge you to be personally generous all week long. So, like, take these cards that are on your seat, pay it forward at the drive-through line. One of the things we love to do is we'll send gift cards with our kids to school, to like their elementary teachers, to give them a coffee, just little things. Do little acts of kindness and give these cards away so people know that it's radical generosity in Jesus' name. This is why we're doing this. Just look for ways to be generous. You know, the Bible says that The Spirit of God roams the earth looking for whom he may encourage. Partner with the Spirit of God and look for who you can encourage. And just be generous. Just for 1 week, just make it yes day. Make it yes week. If you have that thought in your head, should I be generous right now? Yes. Should I tip extra? Yes. Should I pay for the person behind me? Yes. Should I mow my neighbor's lawn? Sure. Like, unless they're like one of those touchy ones like my place. If I mowed my neighbor's lawn, he'd be saying, what are you doing? There's an art to this, and my lawn is way better than yours. So don't touch it. But you know what I'm saying? Find ways to just be generous. And then finally, join in a serving project. So for some of you, maybe the St. John Free Market is the thing that you're going to do. There's all kinds of stuff. If you go to our website, let's bring that up on the screen, guys. If you go to loveweek.cc, or you go to kingschurch.cc and click on Love Week, it's going to take you to this website. Not this one. Let me just go back. Let's go home. There we go. It's going to take you to this website, and this is your best way. In fact, let's do this in church. Would you get your phones out, please? Go ahead. Someone's got that Zach Morris phone. Doesn't have a screen on it. Not you. Everybody else has a smartphone. Go ahead and get it out. And pull up loveweek.cc, and here is your easiest way to get involved. So you can go on here. If you click on Service Projects, that will take you to where you can participate. So click on Valley, for those of you here at the Valley. For those of you who are new to our church, we actually have 5 locations. So we have a location in Halifax, Charlottetown, St. Stephen, West St. John, and you guys here. So click on your location, and then you can find different events that are happening all week. Find an event to participate in. You can sign up there. If you're going to sign up for the free market, let's look right here. It only take a couple minutes, but if you can just register for it and let us know that you're going to participate, that would be super helpful. So go, and you can find everything you need on the website. Also, here the website is how you're going to be able to give as well. So up in the top right corner, you'll see the prompt to give, which we're going to do in just a second. And on there, you can sign in and you can give through e-transfer, you can give online, or here at the Valley, we have, wave at the back, guys, we got some folks at the back. Turn your light on, let your light shine before all men, that they may see that you're there to take their money so that we can give it away. Yeah. You can give in person as well, by check or by card. Let me just give a little plug. If you want to give at our locations through a card, that's fine, we will take that. But if you can give through e-transfer, we don't get stuck with the fees. So 100% of what you gave is going to be able to go out, and Visa is not going to get any part of that, if that makes sense. But if you have to give through Visa, you can do that. We have all kinds of ways to do it. We have tap debit, you have e-transfer, you can give online, or you can give in person. Does that make sense? All right, y'all know what to do. Let's pray and do it. Would you stand to your feet at all of our locations? I told you I was going to be fast. I want to pray, and then here's what we're going to do. The service is not over when I say amen. I want you, now that you have your phones out, I want you to, on your phone, as the bands at all of our locations come back to the stage, we're going to sing and celebrate the good news of the gospel of Jesus as we give. And so you guys can, as soon as I say amen, start giving on your phone, your device, or go back to the back of each of our rooms or in the lobby. We'll have good folks at each table there to take your card or however you want to give there. So let's pray together. Let's just ask the Lord to go before us and anoint our efforts together. Can we just agree together in prayer? Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we ask you right now, would you just mobilize your church like only you can? Lord, you know all the needs we're going to meet today. You know every story that you have been working, Lord, to just make those connections so that for at just the right time, your goodness and faithfulness is going to be shown to people who really need it. And so, Lord, we just want to say first and foremost, just agree with me, church family. Lord, we trust your kindness in this, and we trust your ability to meet the right needs this year. We trust your ability to provide for us even as we give, Lord. And God, we pray today, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you just, would you free up generosity in your church like you do every single year? Would you allow us to stretch a little bit, to give a little bit extra, to give to the point where we feel it? And God, would this go further than we could ever imagine? Lord, would you take the $100 gift and would you make it have, $1,000 impact? And Lord, would you take the 1 hour of time, would it have an eternal impact on a person's life, Lord? God, would you just take these offerings, and Lord, even just like we see in the scripture, as the offering comes and is brought to the altar, would your fire consume it? And so, Holy Spirit, we ask right now, as each one gets ready to give, would you consume this offering, and would the name of Jesus be known? Would the goodness of God be seen? Would the kingdom be revealed? God, would the church be mobilized through this? Lord, would you just stir up radical generosity in us? Lord, I say in the name of Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have everything, every reason why we should be generous. Lord, I pray right now, would you just, even in our own hearts, would you break the back of scarcity that tries to creep in? Would you break the back of that have-not spirit? And would you remind us today you've given us more than enough? And God, would we be just so faithful to be like our Father in heaven and to give extravagantly? And so, Father, I pray for the one that this is for the first time they're giving, Lord, would you show up in their lives like never before? God, I pray for the ones that have done this 10 times, Lord, would you help us stretch? Would you help us go there again, Lord? And God, we just submit the whole thing to you, God. We pray that would you be seen, would you be known, and would you stir up generosity in our hearts, Lord, and let us feel and show the great and radical love of Jesus this week. We pray in your name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.